Welcome to Band Talk with Charlie Mangini and friends. On this podcast, you will be able to hear conversations with some of the greatest names in wind band conducting, composing, and arranging.
Hello, and welcome to podcast number 2 of Band Talk with Charlie Mangini and friends. And I want to thank everybody for the wonderful support that they extended for our first podcast. And we hope that you will continue to spread the word. So let's join our conversation with Alex Shapiro.
So over the past, you know, couple of years, and it's growing, many ensembles, school ensembles, ensembles playing at national events have been encouraged and sometimes required to play music that has been composed by women or minorities. And so what do you think of that, shall we say, requirement? I mean, I like the encouragement part of it. Do you think that's something that should be required?
I think requiring it, as long as people are writing who are women and minorities and underrepresented composers, as long as there is plenty of excellent music from which to choose, sure. And I think it's very much like any kind of affirmative action program, which has always been meant to phase itself out with its own success. And this will be the case with let's say, in the band world. For instance, the Midwest Clinic came out, as you well know, they came out with some, which I and my peers view as real improvements to these requirements, saying at least one piece on the program should be on your program for Midwest next year should be from an underrepresented composer, whatever that means. You know, we won't get into the weeds of that because it's not a perfect system. But what it means is that for many, many years, there have been so many fine composers who have not, for one reason or another, been given a voice. And a lot of it is not at all nefarious. What it is the human tendency for people, for conductors in this case, and most of them are white men, they tend to go with what they know and go with the pieces by the people that they know. And that self-perpetuates. There's nothing evil or bad about that. It's a habit. It's called being human, right? And so I think what the movement has been asking people to do at this time, when we now have a huge insurgence of women and people of color and people from all backgrounds who are writing good, and that is really an important word, good music that is equally good to the good music by everybody else that's been out there for a long time. We're saying, you know what? Open your eyes a little bit wider and take a wider, broader look at the scope of what's available now that probably wasn't available 25 years ago. And now it is, for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, there's so many reasons I can, you know, enumerate. One of them is actually the internet, because now with self-publishing, et cetera, and running your own business, because we all have access, equal access, that has allowed underrepresented composers to get into the mix because they don't have to deal with the gatekeepers, you know, of publishers, record companies. I'm not saying that those are bad entities. They are. Publishers are wonderful and needed. So are record companies. But there are options, at least, for people who might not have those avenues to be able to make themselves known quantities. And we're seeing this in great numbers, and it's been really inspiring. So to come full circle to this thought, the requirements are good requirements because we're not going to need them very long at all. I said this at the CBDNA forum to all of our conductor colleagues this past December. You know, it becomes self-perpetuating. The outreach means reaching out. And when we can all identify talented, worthy, good composers of any background who are writing excellent music and bring them into the fold and bring them into this wonderful world, then they too are going to reach out to the people that they know. And it's more likely that the people that they know and hang out with are going to look more like them, the same way the white male conductors getting the white male composers, you know, everybody was working with who looked like them. And so in a few years, you're going to see a wonderful natural balance of all kinds of composers and all kinds of good music. And we're not going to have to enforce anything. It will be self-perpetuating. It just needed this little kick in the pants. That's what I call it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, a couple of observations from what you said. I remember when I was at Vandercook, and of course everybody knows that we played at the Midwest every year, and you would have no idea that every year I would probably get 15 to 20 manuscripts in the mail from people I have never heard of, wanting me to play their piece at the Midwest Clinic. And you know, most of the time they just, they really didn't have a whole lot of merit. And then secondly, of course, our representative role was to perform new music that had been published. But, you know, along those lines, I'm sure publishers get so many unsolicited compositions that they can't get through them anyhow. So they've kind of went back into their shell, and they've got their little stable of people they can trust that know it'll do a good job. And they don't find ways to reach out, you know? And so I think you're right. I think this is a great thing that's happening. And you know, one other little comment was, we played Blessed Are They by Barbara Buelman one year at Midwest Clinic. And she told the story that when she first did the arrangement of Blessed Are They, the publisher called her and said, we would like to use B. Buelman as the arranger of this, because if we put Barbara Buelman, people probably won't buy it because it's a woman. Well, wow. 25 years later, she said, they called me and said, we'd like to put Barbara Buelman on it because you're now famous and we know people will buy it.
Wow. Yeah. And that was the reality. Listen, I've got a family member who just passed away a few years ago in her late 80s, early 90s, who is a fabulous painter and a professional painter. Very prolific. She was a protege of Hans Hofmann, fabulous painter. I've got about 40, 45 of her works in my home alone. And she's been shown in the LA County Museum. Anyway, long story short, in the 1950s, when she was beginning her work, she couldn't have used her regular name, which was Florence. Instead, she used her two last names, her maiden name and her then married name. And to the day she died, those ended up being her painting names for that same reason. Women could not get arrested in the arts, especially in the visual arts, was very, very tough. And of course, composition has been very tough for a long time. And there's always been tons of great women artists and women composers. But now finally the tide is turning. And again, I really do credit technology for everybody being able to raise their voice and be seen and heard if they want to. I think that's a huge change from the past when we didn't have these self-propelling avenues. So it's been wonderful to see. I mean, I can name so many female composers and composers of color. I have, by the way, I'll make a little pitch for anybody who's interested in this topic or looking to expand their repertoire. On my own webpage, I developed a couple of years ago, I put together a programming resources page, and there's a link front and center right on my homepage of alexshapiro.org. You just scroll down a little bit and you'll see it right there. And it takes you to a gazillion links that will broaden anybody's horizons about all the wonderful composers that are writing right now. And I also have a smattering of my thoughts along the lines of what we've been talking about that I recommend anybody can use as talking points themselves if they want to, because I think it's important to bring this issue front and center to talk about it. And the beautiful thing, Charlie, is that every time I've had a discussion with a conductor, who feels sheepish and badly that somehow they had never before realized that they hadn't been programming a broad, you know, selection of composers. I say to them, don't feel badly. It's okay. It's like swimming in water, the same temperature as your body. You don't even feel the water. You know, we've all had that wonderful feeling. I said, it's okay. But the great thing is now it's been brought to your attention and boom, you're never going to look at your curation the same way again. And they say, you're absolutely right. So all it is awareness raising. We're not beating anybody up. we're just trying to, you know, put it on people's radar in a way that maybe they hadn't thought of before. Just like, you know, if you tell somebody, gee, you know, that can of tuna fish you're eating has a lot of salt in it. And they say, wow, I never realized that. I shouldn't be having so much salt. You know, you just have to raise people's awareness about all kinds of things.
That's Alex Shapiro. She is a sweetheart, and her music really engages kids in a way that few composers in this day and age can, with all of the wonderful electroacoustic sounds and imagery she adds to every piece.